pledged. Please, it is time to honor your pledge. We want to keep this channel open and the conversation going on. I'm Reem Kaskhuda here with Hampton.
And come on down and join your family. We are here waiting for you at this International African Arts Festival, the 31st year of its presentation to the world. It's not just for Brooklyn alone. It's for you.
Okay, and you were listening to Reem Kaskhuda and Hampton, and earlier Errol Maitland, broadcasting live from the International African Arts Festival in Brooklyn. And we will be broadcasting live events off and on through the day up until, I think it's around 7 o'clock here. Your regular programs will be on mostly, so stay tuned. Some of them will be broadcast from out there. And out there, and some in the studio here, out there is, if you want to go out to the festival and see what's going on out there, all sorts of things, dancing, clowns, and millions of other things. It's in Brooklyn, let's see, Fulton Street. It's the Fulton Street between Marcus Garvey Boulevard and Malcolm X Boulevard. It's Fulton Street out in Brooklyn, between Marcus Garvey Boulevard and Malcolm X Boulevard. It's right across the street, BAI's broadcast booth is, and the subway stop where you get off is right across the street from Boys and Girls High School out in Brooklyn. And for more information, we have a number here, 718-638-6700, 718-638-6700. For those people who are calling into the studio wondering where Chris Wendt's show was, I really don't know. It's a mystery to me. He was supposed to have a tape, but maybe because it was on tape, he was discussing turning over the show live to the people broadcasting the festival. I'm sure he can explain that all for you next week. But if you miss Chris, he will definitely be back next week. Stay tuned for Mike Fader with Hard Work.
يا حضرتي مولانا حق يا حبيب الله رسولي خالقي الدوت
of the beginning of the Whirling Dervish ritual, which goes on for about 75 minutes or something like that. Or actually, about 75 minutes. And this is WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. This is Mike Fader with Hard Work, broadcasting from the studio here. And some announcements for you, some announcements. First of all, thanks to everybody who has been responding to me coming back on Sundays. I like being back on Sundays. And I think a lot of other people appreciate it too and miss the show being on Sundays. So I'm really happy for all the emails and letters, phone calls, whatever, that you have sent. And if you want to get in touch with me for any reason, you can do so in various ways. You can call 252-2042. That's a voicemail. 252-2042. You can send a letter to WBAI, 120 Wall Street, and that's New York, New York, 1005, 120 Wall Street, 10th floor, actually. New York, New York, 1005, or you can send me an email at bksfeder@aol.com. RiamKatuta.com, or you can go over to my website and check out everything that's on there. I keep updating it all the time. You can join my mailing list, and that is none other than www.MikeFeder.com. Another announcement. Let's see. Tonight, here on the People's Radio Station, between 9 and 11 a.m., Dave Kenny, everything old is new again, Dave Kenny, who's been on the air a long time here, playing some really good old-timey music. Well, it's not that old-time. 40s, 50s, 60s, other show and show tunes, cabaret stuff. He's going to have a Gershwin tribute later on tonight, 9 to 11 p.m. here. And one, there are many singers, but one of them, of course, will be the recently departed Rosemary Clooney, a wonderful singer. So, and also Fred Astaire, Louis Armstrong, and various other people will be singing. So that's a Gershwin tribute tonight at 9 o'clock. More announcements. The Cornelia Street Cafe, which has probably the best, as far as to my knowledge, the best reading series of poetry and prose and performing series in New York City, is having a tribute to itself. Maybe, is it a 25th anniversary? I don't know. In any case, they're featuring all sorts of performers who have been there over the years. And on July 16th, which is a Tuesday, next Tuesday after this one, from 6 to 8 p.m., I will be performing there, as well as Janet Coleman and David Dozer from the Cat Radio Cafe show, newly relocated to Mondays at 2 o'clock. Cat Radio Cafe is now on Mondays at 2 o'clock. So they will be on. They're longtime theater people, and they're doing something called, according to this, their Dada Beatnik Cabaret, and it's called Dig Rizad. Dig Rizad. Sounds good. Anyhow, so they'll be there, and I'll be there telling a story called Here's Herbie, about something that happened to me when I was 15 years old. Only a couple of years ago. So we'll all be there, Janet, David, and I, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Cornelia Street Cafe. How can you get there, you ask? You query. You query. Let's see. The Cornelia Street Cafe is located at 29 Cornelia Street in Greenwich Village. And that is, if you want more information about how to get there, it's 989-9319, okay? You call them up, you can get directions. And so come there on Tuesday, July 16th, to hear Janet and David and I performing. I don't know who will be performing first or second. But what difference does it make, anyhow? Theater is theater. So we're there from 6 to 8 p.m. Actually, the show starts around 6:30, I think. And ends at 8. All right. Let's hear a little bit more of this music. And I'll be back in a second. Minutes to get here today. None of the trains were working, waiting for another train, going in a different direction, switching trains. Somebody had some terrible medical problem, the cop stopped one train, got on another one. EMS was coming as I was getting on the other train, walked 9 blocks to get here. It's just one of those wonderful mornings on Sunday in New York City. But New York, you think New York has problems. It doesn't have any problems whatsoever. I read you the following article from the Westport News of Wednesday, June 19th. This is the police blotter, otherwise known as the police reports here in the Westport News. Various articles about some crimes being committed, one man driving while intoxicated, and this item. So just want to read you this just in case you're disgusted by the way the streets look or the heat or any kind of crime or bizarre environmental behavior in New York City that's driving you out of your mind. They've got problems worse than that here in Westport, Connecticut. Coffee cup reported missing. A $2 coffee cup was reported missing and possibly stolen from a rooming house on Imperial Avenue this past Sunday evening. Authorities did not have any specifics on when the cup was last seen and were unable to provide a description of it. So, crime can strike anywhere, can alter a person's life. This coffee cup is missing. We don't know if it'll ever be returned, but the cops are on it up there. Wouldn't you like to live in a place where that was something which actually made? I'm sure there are occasional violent crimes up there, but wouldn't you like to live in a place where that item can actually make the police blotter? So if any of your coffee cups are missing, if you can't find a coffee cup, I suggest you immediately call 911 and get those detectives over there. Have them work on it. Excuse me. Maybe we'll drink a water here. WBAI, you're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM. There's one other thing I wanted to recommend to you. If you are interested, if you're listening to other shows on BAI, not just this one wonderful show, but if you listen to other shows on BAI, if you listen to Democracy Now! Or one of the 50 other programs on BAI, and you've been a long-time listener or you're new to the place, you just might be interested in going to this particular website, which is sort of a kind of a bulletin board, gossip-mongering place, place for speeches. Producers at BAI post comments there. They respond to each other. People have arguments, debates. They gossip about personalities and programs and stuff at Pacifica and at WBAI. And it's, like I say, there are people from the national board that occasionally will post information there, people from the local board, producers, and it's mostly listeners, though, commenting on your favorite radio station. And what is that place, you ask me? It is www.goodlight.net. That's www.goodlight, GOODLIGHT.net. And when you get there, which is a very attractive website, actually, designed by a crusty individual named Frank Fitzgerald, who's obviously a professional at designing websites. Let's see, www.goodlight.net, and you go to WBAI Issues or People. Click on that, and you're there. And you can post anonymously if you want, or you can put your name down, anything, and comment on anything, or read sort of what's going on. For instance, right now, a lot of you may be interested to know, and I don't know if there's been any public announcement of this, that Amy Goodman's show, Democracy Now!, now belongs to Amy Goodman. It is not owned by Pacific anymore. A contract was just recently signed by the head of Pacifica Foundation, that is to say the chairperson of the national board and the executive director, with Amy Goodman, and she now has the trademark and copyright ownership of Democracy Now!. And there are various other things in this contract. The contract is posted. If you look hard enough on there, you'll be able to find it. It's an astounding kind of development, and there's lots of comment, as you can imagine, about this. Lots of money is involved, all sorts of transfer of ownership of copyrights, having to do with distribution. It's really a staggering sort of thing when you start to think about it. So Democracy Now! Is owned and operated by Amy Goodman now. No longer does it belong to the Pacifica Foundation. And Amy Goodman has not broadcast out of WBAI for a long time now, anyhow. She was more or less harassed out of here by Utrice and her thugs about, well, I guess it's going on about a year now ago. And she found another more congenial place. And now she's sort of expanded into television and God knows what else. And so for various reasons, we are now no longer really associated with her. She broadcasts through WBAI, but she is not part of WBAI or Pacifica officially anymore. So that's just one item among the many other items that you can discuss and find out about on this goodlight.net board. For today, I wasn't here on July 4th, our Independence Day, but one thing I didn't talk about last week very much, I don't think I talked about it very much, that has to do with this, of course, is that I noticed that in the newspapers that moron George Bush was springing up, you know, just like one of those little, do you remember when you were a kid? Sometimes you see these in old movies and they're scary. And, we had one of these in the house for the kids, and I had one when I was a kid, and it scared me. There's something really sick about it, sort of like a carnival or a circus freak show. It's these boxes about maybe 8 inches square, right? And you press a little lever, and the top flips open, and a clown, a weirdo clown on, you know, those wide eyes and that dead, crazy, creepy expression, pops up on a spring and scares everybody. And you could do this, and you could scare a little kid until they start giggling and laughing a million times with this. Just just like peekaboo. Do you ever play peekaboo with a kid? You can do that until you faint from exhaustion. A kid will hide behind their hands or behind, you know, a couch or a chair or something like that and jump up. Or you can and jump up, and they will just die laughing every single time. And it's one of the best things about human beings. That is the highest level, I think, that human beings achieve, is peekaboo. You can talk about your Dalai Lama. You can talk about Mahatma Gandhi and, you know, Einstein and Freud and everybody else. But when you're talking about peekaboo, you're talking about the apex, the epitome of human endeavor. That's what I say. So peekaboo, if I say it, it's so ingrained in most people that they will immediately have a reaction. Here, just check this out. I'll give it a poison. Peekaboo. You remember that? Do you remember doing that with your kids? Do you remember being a kid and doing that? No, I doubt it, because little kids who don't, you know, can't, most people don't remember that far back. I mean, a little kid 1 and a half, you know, maybe even 2 at the most. After that, kids get a little bored with peekaboo. After all, they know you're there. It's like the Wizard of Oz, right? Who's behind that green curtain? George Bush, this idiot, naturally, of course, was going all over the country on, you know, Air Force One, and going to barbecues at various super or uber American, you know, towns, like in Virginia and other places, where everybody is eating, you know, fly or insect parts and beef fat and artery-choking grease and all the other things that we like to enjoy to celebrate our independence from the British, who also eat that stuff all the time, too. So everybody's out there frying and barbecuing and drinking alcohol and fainting in the hot sun and being rushed to local hospitals. And it's just, you know, our great American event. And here's this moron and this idiot walking around all these places. And, of course, they were pledging allegiance to the flag. And he put his hand over his heart. Presumably it's in the same place, if it's there, as anybody else's. And or maybe he took his finger and, well, I can't say that on the radio. Anyhow, he saluted in some fashion the flag, and they pledged allegiance to the flag. We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. One nation, and everybody said very loud, especially little George, under God. Under God. Under God. So apparently, I'm just following this up because when I get back from Maine, you know, I have to catch up to all the news. Because I didn't read any newspapers up in Maine. Didn't bother to see what was going on at all, almost about anything, which is one of the reliefs of going on vacation. So I come back here and I see that a 3-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California has upheld an appeal, I guess, from local authorities or state authorities, whatever, that has worked its way up through district court to the federal appeals court. That some man, I guess apparently, got upset that his daughter was having to say under God in the school, you know, where she went, some elementary school or junior high or whatever, out in California, I guess it was. I suppose it was California, although the Ninth Circuit, I think, may cover one or two other states. Anyhow, sued, got up to the three-judge panel, and they agreed that somebody wrote a lead opinion, I forget the man's name, that the word under God violates our constitutional guarantees of separation of church and state, which is absolutely correct, of course. There's really no arguing about it. I mean, that's just the way it is. I suppose if people really wanted to do that, if you really wanted to, do you want to be the first one on your block to file this lawsuit? If you pull out a dollar bill from your pocket, which is probably all you have in your pocket if you're like me, and I don't have my wallet in front of me. It will say, what does it say? You know what? Why don't you, hold on a second, I'm going to get a dollar bill. All right.
Don't turn. I'm yelling now because I'm not near the microphone. Can you hear me? Just keep tuned. This is WBAI. Don't go. All right.
I'm back now. Okay. Here I am. I went and got my wallet. I open it up and I look for money. I do find money. And what do I see? But I'm looking for a dollar bill. I have so many hundreds in here that I could confuse with the dollar. Oh, here it is. Let's see. The United States of America, Federal Reserve note, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Flip it over on the backside. You should pardon the expression. And on the dollar bill it says, "In God we trust." How long has that phrase, "In God we trust," been on a dollar? Or, for instance, every bill. Here I have an Abraham Lincoln. I'm rich today. And it says, "In God we trust" there too, with a picture of the Lincoln Memorial underneath. And "In God we trust" on the dollar bill is in between a Masonic symbol, which is interesting enough all by itself, you know, that pyramid on the left there, whatever the hell that means to America, and the American Eagle, which looks extremely much like the Royal German Imperial Eagle from before Hitler's time. So that's also interesting all by itself. So we have here's "In God we trust." That shouldn't be there either, should it? What do you think? Does it offend you? Does it disgust you that there is no separation of church and state on our currency? It does to me, and I'm filing a suit next week. You want to join in? Maybe I'll just file a sport jacket. I don't know if I have the time and the energy to file an entire suit, but I'm going to. Somebody could do that. Isn't that true? Could not somebody object to the fact that "In God We Trust" is on the currency? No one's ever thought to do that. So finally, somebody going around to the Pledge of Allegiance. And, of course, George Bush and everybody else like him, and unfortunately, there are millions of people like him. Ignorant people, bigoted people, people with narrow vision, people who don't understand why we have a constitution, what's it for, what it's all about, why we got one in the first place. People like that. What Independence Day really is, why we separated ourselves violently in a revolution from the British, why it is that thousands of people died of privation and murder and starvation and British guns and bayonets. Why did we go through all that for, 6 years? Why do we have this violent, awful war, this revolution from our parent country? Well, it wasn't so we could put "under God" necessarily on our currency or in our Pledge of Allegiance. In fact, according to what I read in the paper of record, the New York Times style section or whatever it is that paper is, it says that the phrase "under God" was inserted in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag in 1954, as a result of sentiment stirred up by the height of McCarthyite anti-communism. So, in fact, the motivation, did Congress vote on a bill to do that? Did the president insert that? Who got to change the Pledge of Allegiance? Somebody. Some historian, one of you bright people, knows that. But, or maybe it was Congress who passed a resolution, which is short of a bill, or maybe a law, which says that "under God." Now, apparently, nobody would have dared in 1954 to have objected to object to that. I mean, you would wind up shadowed by the FBI, called in front of the House Internal Security, whatever it is, Un-American Activities Committee, UAC, you know, Nixon's little committee. And that sniveling little weasel, who reminds me in some ways of George Bush. Doesn't, just think immediately, doesn't George Bush in some of his ways remind you of Nixon? Because Bush is much stupider than Nixon was, but he has a lot of stuff in common with Nixon. In any case, so it was inserted at that time at the height of hysterical, frenzied, bigoted, unconstitutional anti-communism in the United States. So it was ignorance and stupidity and bigotry that installed the phrase "under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Now, if you've listened to my program or to me for any amount of time, it doesn't even have to be that long, 3 months, a year, 6 years, whatever, you know that I'm not, you know, I'm not in charge of the atheist show here. We have an atheist show at BAI. In fact, I do have a very strong spiritual life. And not that I believe there's some big white man with a long flowing beard pointing his finger like in the Sistine Chapel, but I do have a very strong, you know, spiritual life. So when I say, when I'm attacking the idea of under attacking, when I'm objecting to the idea of under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, or supporting, you know, getting rid of it, and when I see this on the currency or whatever it is, it has nothing to do with God or religion, obviously. But who would have the courage to say that in any mixed company? I mean, you can say that on BAI. If you said this probably on a number of other, like you said this on some television shows or on television news, of course, they would fire you. You would get lots of angry letters. People would, maybe some people would cancel. Who knows what? They're so conservative on television. I'm sure there are some radio stations, even these nitwit commercial radio stations that spend the entire day playing assault of music and insulting people. Probably, you know, there's more freedom of speech on the radio now than there ever was before, oddly enough. I mean, it's more commercial now, more loud, more stupid, more insulting, and more hucksterish than it's ever been before on the radio. And yet people say more of what they believe and what they think and what they feel. Unfortunately, most of it is infantile, puerile, and insulting, but people do get away with saying things much more than they used to on the radio. I think it's a combination of breaking conventions after all this time, and you know, and some of that's bad. You know, a breakdown of a certain civilized social system, which is part and parcel of being able to, you know, like the '60s was, a complete turning your back on the '50s, right? Anyhow, I pledge allegiance to the flag under God. If there is any reality or justice or honesty in the Supreme Court, where I have no doubt this issue will wind up, they will vote unanimously, perhaps, maybe with one dissension, who knows, to support this throwing out of under God and the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, I don't remember the Pledge of Allegiance so well. I mean, we had to do it when we were kids. I mean, we were brought up in the '50s. Basically, the '50s was the '40s, and it was the '50s, too. But, you know, we were there in the auditorium every single day, was it, you know, and in the Boy Scouts. I mean, I must have pledged allegiance to the flag 1,000 times in my life before I got to be, you know, before it got to be like in the '60s in Vietnam, and then I stopped doing it. And I've never done it again because it's too complicated for me now to just put my hand in my heart and pledge allegiance under God, to the, and even without under God, to the United States of America. It's just not that simple anymore. This is not just some red-blooded, freedom-loving, wonderful country where you just stand up and look at the flag and your eyes fill with tears and you follow it wherever it goes. If you do that, you've been hypnotized by war movies and, you know, you're just lost because that's just not America. That's not the United States of America. The United States of America is now an empire. We are as much an empire in our own way as the Romans ever were, as the British ever were, and in some ways as the Nazis ever were. Now, how can I say a horrible thing like that? No, we're not going around rounding up millions of people and murdering them in death camps. No, we're not doing this. No, we're not doing anything like what the Nazis did. But we are a massive, powerful force that threatens and makes afraid almost everybody in the world. We are, as a nation, a country which owns and operates other countries, which dictates who will be ruling other countries, which murders and assassinates as a matter of routine the democratically elected leaders of other countries. And sometimes when we put people in who aren't even democratic and we get tired of them, when they don't do what we say, we have them murdered too. This is a country which uses assassination, spying, bribery, and corruption to run half of the world. And when we're not doing that, we're oppressing people all over the world to the point where they live in, where hundreds of millions of people live in utter misery and poverty because of the practices, the economic and political practices of the United States. And we are a much feared and hated empire, and have no doubt that we are an empire. The United States of America now is an empire just as surely as the Roman Empire was an empire. We just don't have soldiers in every single country, almost now. We are becoming like that. We are becoming more and more to resemble the Roman Empire in terms of our economic and military presence all over the world. We haven't yet descended to the level of crucifying people, murdering people on a whim, throwing people to lions and things like that. But I don't really believe that if we keep going the way we are, that that time is far off. So pledge allegiance under God, right? So this idiot, George Bush, probably has no conception whatsoever what the Constitution means. I doubt if he has any idea what the Constitution really means. And as I've said many times before, what I'm doing right now in talking about the United States this way, my country, as a citizen, this exercise that I'm engaged in right now is far more patriotic in the sense of what it really means to be an American, in my opinion, and what the Declaration of Independence says if you read it, and the Constitution if you stop to read it. What I'm doing now is far more patriotic than anything than this bloodthirsty, dishonest fool George Bush and his friends are doing in this country or all over the world. And that's one thing that I would love to explain to people everywhere. I'd love to have the opportunity to just go everywhere and speak about BAI and explain to people that essential idea, which is that our critiques of this country. Now, in some cases, of course, a lot of people in BAI are just merely narrow-minded, knee-jerk types who will just oppose absolutely anything this country does without even thinking about it. They make careers, literal careers, some of them even well-paying careers, out of denouncing absolutely anything the United States does. The sad part is that although these people's style and sometimes their content is very narrow, they are in many cases these days correct about what they say. This country, the United States of America, is the one country which is perpetuating global warming. We are murdering the whole world, including ourselves. This country, the land of the free and the home of the brave, or is it the home of the free and the land of the brave? Because our government, because our Congress, which is made up of rich people and friends of rich people who are basically bribed by rich people, and that includes all the Democrats, who are really no different than the Republicans, because these timid, vapid, corrupted prostitutes who are called Congress can't pass bills to defend the rest of the world or us from choking to death and burning to death, we are committing, the earth is committing mass suicide. And who is in the lead, who is driving the engine of this commitment of mass suicide is the United States of America. This is because, why am I saying these things now? I don't like to be thought of, really. I mean, I grew up as a Boy Scout. I saluted when I was a kid. I followed the exploits. The other day I watched this movie, Saving Private Ryan, which I know a lot of people can't stand because it's overly sentimental. But I love that movie for all the reasons that I like a lot of good World War II movies, because there was good and evil. There was black and white. There was a time when the United States of America was saving the world from a tyrant. And if that's just as simple as it was, we were saving the world. We were pure and good in doing that, in Europe at least, in the Japanese as well. We were saving the world from tyrants. The fact that we were replacing these tyrants with ourselves is a long, complicated, and sad historical fact. And that's something that we have to get used to. We need to know ourselves. In my opinion, this country, which is leading the world into, literally into sickness and in death by doing global warming. And, oh, have you got a message or something? What you got here? This is Esther has just walked in. You're obviously doing your show from the studio today, right? Okay. Let's see. On Beyond the Pale. Okay. This is an announcement for you. Just off the press. This was just handed to me. On Beyond the Pale today, They will be talking, Esther and Marilyn, I suppose, but I know Esther's here at least. Anti-Semitism, the far right in Europe. Oh, that sounds pretty interesting, right? Because that's something that's really scary, a growing movement, which is very reminiscent of something not too long ago. Okay, so this is what we're this is what you'll hear on Beyond the Pale today. One subject is anti-Semitism, the far right in Europe. Next subject, largest American Jewish philanthropy decides to fund the Jewish settlements in occupied territories. Oh, man, give me a break. When will people realize that that is wrong? It's embarrassing if you're Jewish, I tell you. Largest American Jewish philanthropy decides to fund Jewish settlements in occupied territories. They'll be discussing that on Beyond the Pale, which comes on at noon, by the way, right after my show. And there'll be live klezmer, which is wonderful. I love klezmer music, with Margot Leverett and Joe, looks like, Selev. Oh, I'm sorry, Joe Selly? Silly? If I get the name wrong, I apologize. Okay, so stay tuned for a wonderful program, Beyond the Pale at noon. Where was I? I was denouncing America. In my communist-like BAI fashion. No, I don't really... I was a Boy Scout. I loved being in the Boy Scouts. I loved hearing stories about World War II. I watched all the war movies. I still watch the war movies about World War II. That was a time when I was, in retrospect, even when I see it now, that gives me pride in the fact that I am an American citizen, that we do have rights and privileges, that we were rescuing huge parts of the world from the tyranny of other people who don't believe in the idea, at least, of free speech and free association. And it was a great thing. And people, more than 250,000 people died in our Army and Navy and Air Force and in the Marines, died. And several hundred thousand people grievously wounded and wounded in other ways. The whole world changed in our country because we mobilized and went over to save the world from crazy, insane tyrants who have no conception, somewhat like Cheney and Bush, people like that, no conception of what freedom really means. Freedom from oppression, not just physical oppression, but from economic oppression, from all sorts of oppression. And, of course, it was more complicated than that. I know it was more complicated than that, but that's essentially what we were doing, and that's what people joined up to do. That's what people were drafted to do. Now, a lot of people didn't want to be in the Army. World War II wasn't as all this heroic stuff where people were just over there to fight the Nazis or fight the Japanese or the Japs, as they were called then. A lot of people didn't want to be drafted. A lot of people didn't want to be in the Army. They were disgusted. They were afraid every minute. A lot of people didn't like the war at all. A lot of people were cynical. Or realistic, depending on how you look at it. They say, well, it's just one group of rich people fighting another group of rich people. Well, in some ways, it was. And now one group of rich people has finally prevailed, the United States of America. Look, we are the empire now. We are the ones who, for instance, are telling the Palestinians who to vote for and who can be a candidate in an election. Now, I probably believe, and I think there's probably good reason to believe this, that any election that happens in the Palestinian territories or what is Palestine or should be Palestine would probably not necessarily be a fair election. It might be rigged. It might be there might be bullying and terror used. I would find that very easy to believe. And yet, this country, which declared its independence from the British, who oppressed us and didn't give us our right for free speech and fair representation, didn't allow us to vote for who our leaders were. This country, which has declared itself, in Lincoln's beautiful words in the Gettysburg Address, which is a country of the people, by the people, and for the people. Of the people, by the people, and for the people. Do you think it's that way? Of course it's not that way. This country has never been so nakedly, clearly for rich people, of rich people, by rich people, and for rich people. Every single time these Republicans get in, and the Democrats aren't much better. Every single time these people get in, like Cheney and Bush and Rumsfeld and Ashworth and all these other people that put them in, and these people who stole this election, the country gets looted. When George Bush's father, that son of a bitch, that CIA director, that murderer, that thief got in, he and his friends looted this country and violated every law, international and domestic, that we had on the books. And now, what is it? You know, when did he go out of office? 92? You know, 8 years later, his son and the same crew, only worse, are in stealing our money and treating us like children and throwing their weight around the entire world, blowing people up, poisoning people, ruining the world. And if it's not with ozone layers, it's with garbage food and bad drugs and things that we're not even allowed to have here anymore are being exported all over the world by American companies. American companies are poisoning the world. We are leeching the resources of most of the rest of the world. There are probably a billion people, maybe 2 billion people who live in poverty, who are some of them starving to death in the tens of millions. And it's partially due to our behavior. Because we all have to have our cars, our SUVs, our movies, our private jets, our jets at all, our air conditioners. And I'm speaking about myself as well. If you're listening to me and you have an air conditioner and you have a car with an air conditioner or you use a car with an air conditioner, we are enjoying a life which is, but where do you think it all comes from? You do your best, right? You do your best. There are many people who are BAR are far more committed to alleviating the immediate and enduring pain of other people than I am. And yet we're all here on BAI for a reason. It's not a mistake that most of us at BAI are on BAI. There's a couple of opportunists on BAI who are just looking for a way to get onto other radio stations. That's always been the case, I suppose, but probably more now than it used to be, which is depressing. In fact, we've got a couple of people on BAI right now who are just pure and utter commercial people who don't even belong on BAI, in my opinion, who are embarrassing the fact that they are on BAI. They sound so utterly commercial, and in fact are commercial broadcasters. And that's a sad thing to hear on BAI, very sad. And the fact that, for instance, and this is a whole other show we can do on this, because it's such a profound issue that has to do with our community here, and the fact that we want to preserve what I believe to be our American values and not corporate type values and grandiose principles of greed and other things. This whole issue of the fact that now there's a multi-million dollar contract between the Pacifica Foundation and Amy Goodman, or Amy Goodman Incorporated, whatever she is now. Now, I'm not saying anything bad about Amy personally, necessarily. And certainly never say anything bad about her program. I think Amy Goodman's program is one of the most important programs on the radio or on television in the entire United States. I think that she does an immeasurable, invaluable service in her program. But the idea that she is now a separate entity and owns the rights to Democracy Now, and that we have entered into a multi-million dollar contract with her, and there are various other things about this contract which you can read for yourself and then we can discuss. In fact, I may print it out and bring it on here and we can discuss it, because it's not just the one issue. It's the whole idea of the Pacifica Foundation and WBAI moving in a direction which really alarms me and has nothing to do with the BAI I started out listening to and was part of in the earlier years here when I was part of the management. But to get back to the subject at hand, and I wasn't wandering too far away, because the interesting thing about BAI, and this applies to what I was talking about, is that we, I think here, or many of us, or most of us who used to be here and many of us who still are here, try to practice as close as possible, and sometimes in an awkward or uncomfortable or lurching way, sometimes in a more eloquent way, the actual principles that this country is based on. Now, of course, when we celebrate, when we read the Declaration of Independence and we look at the Constitution, these documents, as beautiful and noble as they are, and even in practice as wonderful as they can be, were drawn up by white men, many of whom owned slaves, who forbade women to vote or to hold any kind of responsible job. And if you didn't own a certain amount of property in some states, you couldn't have a vote either. This was the supreme arrogance and hypocrisy of the people who made up this actually beautiful, noble, stirring document. So I believe it's possible to separate the noble ideals and the abstract beauty of the principles of government and society from the venality and the hypocrisy of some of the people that drew it up. People are complicated. And I am in no way forgiving some of the people who drew this up, like Jefferson and other people who were slaveholders, who were like Franklin, who were anti-Semitic, who didn't approve of anybody but a white Christian male with money. These are not people who I would spend any time with or associate with in any way now. And I'd spend a great deal of time denouncing him, as I do right now. You know, Cheney doesn't own any slaves yet. We haven't really managed to repeal the 14th Amendment? I'm sure he's working on it. Now, we're going to, for instance, we see on almost on the very day that we're celebrating our independence from the great evil British Empire, which sent troops here and told us what to do and invaded us and occupied and shot people down, shot citizens down, and didn't allow us to have our own freedom of speech or assembly, who oppressed us so badly that we violently separated ourselves from them. And it tore a lot of people to pieces because we felt that that was our mother country, that we were almost like committing murder of our parents to do that in those days, those people. And we're doing so. That's what we celebrate on the Declaration of Independence, on Independence Day. And yet at the very same time, we are preparing, and I say we, I mean our government made up of rich people and generals, the government is preparing with perhaps 250,000 soldiers, tens of thousands of whom will be killed and wounded, to invade Iraq, to invade another country. Have they asked you about that? No, because you mean nothing to them, and I mean nothing to them. And George Bush is standing there while he and Cheney and Rumsfeld and all these other people and all their rich oil friends who have yet to be indicted. I think actually they should put the name AI in front of all these people. They should say Vice President Richard Cheney, AI, and it means awaiting indictment. President George Bush, AI, awaiting indictment. All of these people, if we had any justice in the world, are awaiting indictments and should be indicted. Cheney was the head of Halliburton. Halliburton, which is a gigantic international oil and gas pipeline company, is one of the companies that's being looked at, and I wonder how closely they'll ever be looked at, by the SEC and other people, and being investigated. It may be one of the next companies that's going to be investigated for accounting, quote-unquote, irregularities. In other words, theft on a grand scale. George Bush's friends are all the people who are being indicted and have been indicted. These people are his friends. These people are the people who gave him money. He himself is a thief and an inside trader who should be in jail. It was in 1989 that there was an energy company he was involved in, and he was on the board of directors, and he had $900,000 in stock in that. This was written in the Times by Paul Krugman about a week ago. And this son of a bitch, Bush, who is criticizing other people and denouncing corporate crooks, is a corporate crook himself, of course, just as Cheney is a corporate crook. And he dumped his stock a couple of weeks before it plunged because there was an investigation of the stock or some accounting irregularity or some lie that they told, which businesses routinely tell to all of us. He dumped his stock. And he's not in jail. He hasn't been indicted. And in fact, as far as I know, there is not one person in any of these scandals, starting with Enron. These are people who have ruined the lives, the savings of perhaps yourself. I don't know if you had stock in any of these companies. People who have based their entire life savings, stock options, portfolios, whatever they had, and even people who are middle-class people who have put money into investment funds. These people are wiped out. They have nothing left. If they can pay the mortgage, they're lucky. And as far as their old age is concerned, they can just drop dead. There's nothing for them anymore because these places are white, because these companies' stock plunge like this. While the people who knew it was going to happen still have tens of millions of dollars. They live in mansions like Ken Lay at Enron, who is a very good friend of George Bush and of Cheney's. They met with them at the White House to make energy policy while they were stealing money from all the rest of us and cheating us all. And they knew it over there. All of these criminals are still living in their mansions. They're still on yachts. They're still enjoying their rich life. Well, while hundreds of thousands of people's lives are now in jeopardy and their savings are wiped out. And some people, I bet there are a couple of people at this point who have even committed suicide or thought of killing themselves, people who are older, whose entire savings and future income was based on stocks that these criminals, these bastards, manipulated for their own purposes. And not one of these men is in jail. Not one of these men may ever go to jail. And we all get together and slap our hands on our chests, and I don't mean we. I'm assuming that most of the people who are listening to me here, after listening to me for many years, are in general agreement with the things I say. You're always preaching to the converted here on BAI. You're preaching to the choir, which is one of the problems. They should take a couple of people on BAI who are more eloquent than other people and just send them out into the world, you know, at great personal risk, no doubt, and explain these things to other people, right? Not just an audience which already believes in it, but that's another story entirely. So here we are celebrating our independence, putting our hands over our hearts and saying we pledge allegiance to this wonderful country. This is not anymore such a wonderful country. It has great and enduring values, most of them in the abstract. We do have relative freedom of speech here, but recently there have been more laws and resolutions passed by these scum in Congress, these timid, spineless scum with their suits on in Congress, and the Democrats are every bit as bad as the Republicans. They should all resign in shame if they had any sense of morality and if they had any souls at all. Laws have been passed or agreed to by these pigs that actually have actually taken our Constitution and used it for toilet paper. They have ripped it to shreds. They have walked with the muddy boots of arrogance and greed and sensitivity and stupidity all over our Constitution. They don't care about the Constitution. The Constitution is an impediment to rich, greedy, powerful people. It's an impediment. It's something you work around. They have no use for it. And any freedom that it guarantees is a loophole that they can drive their armored truck through. And yet we're all supposed to stand here like good boys and girls and slap our hands on our hearts and pledge allegiance under God, who about 1% of this country believes in anyhow when it's convenient, and pledge allegiance to the United States of America. There is no history anymore. There is no sense of complexity, if there ever was. There is no sense of what we are doing to the rest of the world. We are invading countries. We are poisoning people's whole economies. We are keeping tens of millions of people in poverty. We are not sending medicines to Iraq to starve out Saddam Hussein. Meanwhile, thousands and thousands of people, mostly children and sick people and old people, die in Iraq every year because of our bombing raids, destroying their infrastructure, and because of our medicinal prohibitions that they can't even get medicine they need. We have invaded the world, and we are doing worse. And now we're passing laws in our country to rip up our Constitution and throw it out. I think that from now on, that Independence Day should be a national day of reassessment and perhaps mourning and melancholy reflection on what we have done to ourselves and what we're doing to the rest of the world. A little bit like Yom Kippur is for Jews, a day of reflection on our sins, not on our wonderful achievements. An SUV, a television, a widescreen movie, and a $30 million movie contract for Tom Hanks is not an achievement. Freedom of speech is an achievement. Aiding people who are in poverty is an achievement. Not invading people and murdering people and dropping bombs on helpless people. Not doing that is an achievement. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America on the day when it more resembles the America that I'd like to believe in. Meanwhile, I'll be back next week. This is WBAI in New York. My name is Mike Fader. As I said, if you want to get in touch with me, you can do it by calling 252-2042, although I'm less interested in the phone than I used to be, or you can send me an email, which I like these days, bksfeder@aol.com, bksfeder@aol.com. And I guess that does it for me. Stay tuned for Beyond the Pale, which will be coming out with some wonderful subjects and topics today and some live klezmer music. That's one of the great things about this country is Beyond the Pale. All right.
Tales Repertory Radio Theater Company will be performing at the International African Arts Festival Sunday, July 7th, in the late afternoon, all up and down the street. Catch us there live as we perform David D. Wright's newest Yoruba dance drama, The Creatures. We're going to have the lion and the cat, the chameleon and the dogs, and you ain't going to want to miss the water buffalo as he faces off against the leopard. You can also tune in at 5 p.m. over listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 on your FM radio tuner. It's going to be fantastic.
Beyond the Pale, up next.